And now, from England,
it's time
for the Wrestling Pundit Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Wrestling Pundit Podcast, WrestlingPundit.com. I'm your host, Keelan Balderson, and today I'm joined by Sam Brooks. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And also, from across the pond, we have Carmine Antonelli.
This is exciting. I've never been on the... I don't know how many people have been on the Pundit Podcast, but...
I think I was on it, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't really know how I've worked it. I've done one episode here, one episode there, and every time I do it, it's like, welcome to the first ever, and it never gets started.
Starting all over again.
But hopefully this is the new official start, and we can do this every other week, alternating with the Supla, as and when everyone is available. I'm not sure we'll all be here every week, but... At least
we'll have a rotating cast.
Yeah,
I don't have much of a life anyway, so I'll probably be here all the weeks.
There you go.
But before we get to Raw, in the chat, well, we have a chat, a personal chat. Sam said something about Adam Rose last night that kind of interested me, and I'm going to quote exactly what he said. You said, "God damn it, Adam Rose, I'm still butthurt." So I was curious why Adam Rose is hurting your butt right now.
What a quote.
Okay, right. Basically, everyone knows who Adam Rose is. He's going to be debuting on Raw at some point in the near future, and he's essentially a carbon copy of, like, 2006-era Russell Brand.
Is that okay. Real Russell Brand or Russell Brand in a movie?
Well, it's like how he behaved, like, years ago, back when he was, like, sleeping with everyone and doing all the drugs. Like,
now,
not now,
now
when he's spiritual.
A revolutionary, from what I hear, so...
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, he's based off of, like, a well-known figure of a certain period of time. And I would actually be fine with the gimmick. The gimmick itself isn't the problem. The problem is, he used to be Leo Kruger.
My name is Leo Kruger. I did
Leo
like
Kruger.
Leo Kruger. Leo
exactly.
Kruger was awesome. However, I'm gonna give Adam Rose a fair chance. Because, yeah, it's true. I would have loved to have seen Adam or Leo Kruger on Raw. But, I don't know if there was much room for him on the roster.
Well, I definitely give him a chance in that. But me and my friends, who are also fans, we've all said, with that kind of mercenary-type crazy gimmick, he could be a well-fitting member of the Shield. Even though they don't necessarily need a fourth member. I've said something, haven't I?
What nationality is he in real life? I guess he's not actually South African.
I actually don't know. He plays South African well enough to lead you to think that, but Adam Rose, he sounds like conventionally British, like Russell Brand. So
yeah,
one would think
he's
just an American with like a talented voice.
But going back to what you said about the Leo Kruger character joining the Shield... Maybe something along those lines, but I've never, ever liked the idea of anyone joining the Shield. The Shield's one of those stables that just needs to stay the three guys who it is. No secret leader ever needs to be revealed. Just the three of them.
I don't think I would so much mind if a new kind of rookie from NXT came up and if they had the right storyline and, you know, they brought him up into the Shield, but I would hate the idea that, you know, this was thrown around at the beginning that Randy Orton would become the leader or someone who's already established, because that, in my opinion, would just bury them even, you know, it'd bury them. It wouldn't bring them any higher. And they're like main eventers now anyway, so they wouldn't need anybody like that. But I don't think I'd be opposed to adding somebody new if it fit, if it made sense. But that's a whole different...
I'd like to give Adam Rose a chance because I feel like he could actually hold on to the popularity that Fandango had if they use him correctly.
See, my main concern is like... excuse me. My main concern is like that he's just going to arrive no one is really going to dig him, and he'll be a flash in the pan, like maybe, I don't know, throwing a random name out, Kizani.
Mm.
It always goes back to whether WWE actually has faith in what they're creating, because like Carmine says, I could just see him being, oh, like, look, he's this new guy, he's got this snazzy entrance, it gets over for a while, and then creative or Vince whoever just loses interest, and all he's known for is, oh, look, I've got the entrance. As long as they flesh it out and find a way to make the character, you know, give it some depth, then I think it could be good. He's not bad in the ring. I think he's got a good look.
Yeah.
It just all depends whether WWE actually wants him to succeed, and I guess we'll have to wait and see whether that will happen.
I guess one thing I'd love to see is the party bus being a part of his entrance.
That would be nuts.
I doubt they'd be able to fit it in the gorilla position.
I think they could actually do something with that, but less of like him driving it out like JBL, and more of like almost a Goldberg type of thing, where you start at his bus and he comes out of it and he's like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, he brings the party with him, just drags everyone out and is like, let's go.
Even that, or he just accommodates and he's like, hi, I'm Adam Rose, welcome to the party, Citroen.
It's party time! All the time! I'm already digging the character a little bit, but there's a few storylines I think they could do with that. Maybe like, because if you've seen some of his vignettes, he's like a complete ladies' man and like goes through girlfriends like nothing. So maybe he like steals Emma from Santino, or Summer Rae goes to Adam Rose.
I have a question. Like, is he a face or is he a heel? I don't really know.
It's very unclear right now.
That's just my presumption.
He'll probably start out as a popular guy. I don't know if they're going to, because maybe he'll be like Fandango, where he's a heel, but he doesn't really do anything bad. He's just kind of a bit of a dick. A cocky prick.
Yeah, I think they could go either way, depending on how, you know, they portray him. I guess it's all down to the announcers.
And it's being solved.
The thing is, they kind of have a failsafe with Adam Rose if it completely bombs. Because I know Brooks has seen this. I don't know if Keelan has. But there are these videos on YouTube called NXT Presentation Skills, where it's like the behind the scenes. Like, it's them rehearsing their promos.
Oh, I've seen it in, I don't think I watched it, but I've seen it about.
Yeah, and Leo Kruger had one right before they canceled his character and turned him into Adam Rose. And he's saying stuff about, I'm not your puppet, this puppet's cutting his strings, whatever, whatever. If Adam Rose completely bombs, and if they were creative enough, this is the big if, they could have Adam Rose come out one day and say, I'm done being Adam Rose, I'm going to go back to being who I am, I'm going to be Leo Kruger.
Interesting.
And that's a big if. It's a big stretch, but they could. It's an idea.
One thing I have wondered is why they've called him up like so soon, because he had the Leo Kruger gimmick for best part of over a year, and he's had this Adam Rose thing for like a couple months, and he's already been called up. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
I don't know his real name, but this dude has been in developmental for like 5 years. He's proven he knows how to work in the ring. It apparently didn't take long for him to prove that he's good at this Adam Rose gimmick. Everyone's giving him these huge, everyone's giving him like this seal of approval. Like, Colt Cabana is like, this is a great comedy character, you're going to love it. It's like, that's good enough for me, man. And I guess WWE saw the same thing, because it didn't take long. They know he's good in the ring. So once they saw he could handle this gimmick, it's like, all right, you're ready, go.
I know what Sam means, though. I have noticed that it seems like the people in developmental, they start off with one gimmick, and it's just kind of generic, and it doesn't really have any direction. And then they give them a new gimmick for the main roster, but they don't really have that much time in NXT with the gimmick. You saw it with the Wyatt.
The Shield.
Roman Reigns was Leoki, and then he came back as this kind of suited MVP kind of guy. And then a week after that, he was all of a sudden part of the Shield, and they were off. So kind of, it does make you wonder, like, this is developmental, but the development seems to happen right at the last minute.
I guess so. I don't know why that is. That's a good point. But so far it seems to be fine. So until someone comes up and bombs it, I guess the system works.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely working. A few years ago, people were like, where are the new stars? Where are all these new stars? Now there's so many people that are over and have good characters that it's tough to even decide who should, you know, get a push.
Yeah.
You've got Ziggler and The Shield and Damian Sandow and the Wyatts. They're not short on talent anymore. They're not short on characters and people that are over.
Oh, and with Bo Dallas and Adam Rose coming soon, and now Rusev's here.
Dallas.
I'm so excited for Bo Dallas.
Why does everyone seem to hate him with a passion? I don't understand.
It's because before he got this new delusional gimmick, I guess everyone just thought he was boring.
I never
saw him before the delusional gimmick. But
I liked him as a plucky underdog. I thought it was fine, but...
The same. It was... I get where you're coming from. It was generic, and it didn't have anything to it, but it wasn't offensively bland.
There's a thing that people don't like. They just don't like good guys anymore. It just doesn't really seem to work. I think they saw him as a rookie version of Cena. And
yeah, that's a complaint I've heard a lot.
I think Cena like ruined the good guy thing, because we've had that for so long. We want something different.
Yeah, and maybe this is the start of how Hogan kind of faded out and then the Attitude Era exploded. Maybe we're going to hit another point like that. Not another Attitude Era, but maybe another point where it's not so cookie-cutter good guy anymore.
Well, the Reality Era, I think, would cover that quite well.
Yeah, Triple H has come out and said that, I think it was Triple H, that there's no longer faces and heels. It's all shades of grey.
That was Vince.
The people choose... Oh, was it Vince?
Yeah.
The people choose who they hate, and then they just go from there. Shame about Cena, though. We chose to hate him, but that...
didn't do jack shit. yeah, I'm overall, I'm excited for Adam Rose. I'm going to give him a chance.
I'll give him a chance. I just prefer Leo Kruger overall, is the only thing.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, we'll move on to Raw. Not a very eventful episode this week. We had no Daniel Bryan because he was on his honeymoon, which I guess is fair enough. And that basically left The Shield as the top babyfaces of the night. They were basically made to face off against half the roster. And at the end, Evolution reunited and took them out. So what did you all think of the return of Evolution?
It's like, you know when you have a ketchup bottle and you have the last few dregs, so you have to put water in it to get it out?
I normally
That's
buy a new
how
one,
it felt.
But yeah.
Yeah, you would
yeah,
buy
most
a new
people
one.
Buy a new one. Triple H
the
does not follow that same
WWE did not.
Listen, a lot of people on the internet, they seem to be very happy that Evolution's back. I am not one of them. I didn't like Evolution the first time. I am definitely not excited for a new, older version of Bautista, Orton, and COO Triple H beating up The Shield. Not my thing.
That's a main problem that I have. The main concept of the original Evolution, I've said this time and time again to pretty much anyone who will hear, was that it was a past, present, future type deal. You had Ric Flair being the past, Triple H being the present, and Orton and Batista inevitably becoming the future. Now you have past, present, present.
And they're all Batista and Triple H are old dudes at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah. It's just like fossils. You might as well rename them Extinction, if anything.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think the name was needed. They were all kind of working together anyway. They've got this umbrella of the authority. I'm not really sure that they had to brand it Evolution. And if you go by the crowd reaction, I'm not even sure if the people in that building knew what the hell Evolution even was. Maybe that was just a bad crowd, but we've got this...
I think it was a bad crowd because they cheered for Orton and Sheamus, and those are people that never get cheers in a good show.
In a good show.
Yeah, in a good show.
It was a weird crowd for sure because they were cheering guys like the Wyatts and they were cheering The Shield, but they were, like you said, they were cheering Sheamus and Orton, so it was just a strange crowd. But overall, like, it was just awkward. Like, their Titantron was just a still image of the Evolution logo because I guess the old Titantron still had Flair in it and they haven't made a new one for some reason.
Yeah, there was no Ric Flair. Has he kind of evolved to the point of bye-bye, you're not in this anymore?
He's evolved into Valhalla.
I don't like any of them individually. And so when you put them in a team and you have them main eventing Raws in the year 2014, I just can't get behind that at all.
I don't like Triple H for character. I like Triple H the guy, so that kind of helps. But yeah, they're just not as interesting as they think they are or what they used to be.
Yeah, it's just Orton comes out and he says nothing, and whatever he does say, it's just monotone BS. He does his pose. Orton says deal with it. Or no, Batista says deal with it. And then Triple H, you know, buries someone. That's what Evolution is now.
They've evolved out of their gimmicks.
Yeah.
I think this kind of goes back to my argument with Daniel Bryan and the Authority storyline. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea, as long as, in the end, the Shield are the dominant force that beats Evolution. I mean, Triple H did do it for Daniel Bryan in the end. Perhaps this is, you know, what he does now. He just comes up with new ways to put over the younger guys. I mean, if Roman Reigns beats Triple H, then I would have no problem with that.
I hope so.
Likewise.
Because, like, the Shield needs to do to Evolution what they did to the Outlaws and Kane at WrestleMania in order for the storyline to do anything effectively.
Maybe not in a squash match. Maybe make it like a battle, like an absolute, like, TLC match they had against Ryback and so-and-so. Oh. Make it like an absolute proper fight, and then that will cement them even further as opposed to just a squash match.
Yeah.
Well, it is Extreme Rules coming up, so if there's any time for a hardcore brawl, it's there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting.
And with that being said, Orton and Batista were kind of the big guys in line for the title, so who's going to be fighting Bryan at Extreme Rules? Is it going to be, like, Kane?
They're pushing towards that, because he said he's going to send Bryan to the depths of hell, so one would assume they're setting up for a title match.
That's a little lame.
And plus you have Bryan's the backstory of, like, Elimination Chamber and all that stuff where Kane decided to screw him out of the title.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they really played off, because obviously Daniel Bryan and Kane have been a tag team, there's a long history. If they do a really cool video package and they play off it properly, because at one point we could have seen Kane and Bryan at WrestleMania and that would have been a viable match. So if they put the story there, then I don't think it's bad, but I just hope this isn't the start of Daniel Bryan's the champion, but he's not in the main event, he's not got main event opponents, and it's just kind
the
of like
CM Punk syndrome.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't like the idea of his first title defense being Kane, especially since for so long now he's been corporate Kane. It's just, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I brought up this topic with another friend of mine, and I said that Kane doesn't have Edge anymore. Edge is not, like, achieved through having a suit and screwing people. It's achieved through car batteries, setting people on fire. You know, back when he was, like, in the Ruthless Aggression era, that's
throwing someone through a window.
Yeah, basically just almost killing people. That is what he should be doing, you know?
And maybe we're going to see that come back, but I don't,
I can't picture it.
I don't know.
Because they tried, but they didn't really succeed.
I think one problem in today's product is you have so many mid-carders that need to be kept strong. You have these older guys that, you know, are starting to put over these younger guys, but it's like they do all this 50-50 booking where nobody is any better than anybody else. One person wins one week, the other person wins the next week. Someone with the title, then they lose a match even though they're the champion. And they need to get a crop of enhancement talent, jobbers, like get Zack Ryder and JTG and maybe throw Fandango in there if he's not doing anything anymore. And just have a group of guys where Kane can go out, he can have a match, he can destroy the person, it doesn't really harm them because they weren't going anywhere anyway, and, you know, you can rebuild the character. But right now, it's just like, oh, I beat you, you beat me, what does it matter?
Yeah.
I beat you beat me, we're not a happy family.
That's what jobbers used to do. That was the point of them, is they would lose to a bunch of main eventers, and then come pay-per-view, two main eventers would go at it, and you had no clue what was going to happen.
Yeah, so, and the excitement was, oh my god, I get to see Hulk Hogan wrestle, I get to see him do his leg drop, I get to see him play out his character, and he wins, and I'm happy. And then somebody else that does that every week, oh, the Ultimate Warrior squashes this guy, he squashes that guy. Now these two guys that are just beasts, well, they're going to clash on pay-per-view, pay for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to really work like that anymore. They just give away big match after big match, and no one's really any better off.
Exactly.
So it's a weird situation, but I think that, yeah, they do need to just hire jobbers, as weird as that sounds.
Well, as long as they're not, like, credible indie stars, then, yeah, it's fine. Don't get, like, Kevin Steen in there to job.
Yeah.
But anyway, also on Raw, we, of course, got the tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. He got the full 10-bell salute right at the beginning of the show there, quite emotional. You saw Cody Rhodes and Natalya particularly tearing up. I guess they grew up watching the Ultimate Warrior, I don't know. And there's also already been a tribute on the WWE Network, and going forward, I'm not sure if it starts this week or maybe next week, there's going to be a four-part series with footage that was filmed over WrestleMania weekend. So WWE are really kind of going all out with this kind of these tributes.
Well, yeah, because, like, Warrior was in the Hogan level of top guys of all time. It's like, when Hogan dies, we're not going to hear the end of it for months.
God, no.
So I'm not surprised at all by the effort they're putting into this.
One thing that I don't understand is, like, how they arrange the positions at the start of Raw when they have the salutes. Because in the back, you have people like, I think Cody Rhodes and Natalya, as you said, they were, like, sort of near the back or to the side. Front and center, you had people like Sin Cara in his dumb pink mask, and you had Eva Marie next to him. And it's like, how has this happened?
And I also found it weird that everyone was wearing Warrior shirts, except for two people that I could identify, Cena and Orton. They were wearing their own merchandise. That's a bit douchey to me.
Maybe they were instructed, look, you sell merchandise more than anybody else, you've got to keep pushing it with your stupid shirt.
So Cara had the shirt over his dumb pink shit, and it just looked goofy. And they put him in the front row. Why?
What's a face everyone wants to see at the Warrior tribute? How about a guy in a mask?
Guy in a creepy mask.
It was certainly, at least with kind of all the network stuff, and, you know, WWE have sent people to look after Warrior's wife and kids. It's kind of an unprecedented level of, I don't know what you would call it, support or coverage, or, but they definitely seem to be doing things right this time. And I don't want to turn a positive into a negative, but I'm a cynical person, and that's kind of just the way I think. But I can't help but feel slightly skeptical of the way they're handling this. You know, Warrior was a loner when he was in WWE. He always made his own demands. He stood up to Vince McMahon when most people wouldn't. He did things on his own terms. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's what I respect about him. But he wasn't really considered, quote, one of the boys. And it was years of heat between Vince and Warrior. And now things were supposedly finally worked out in these last couple of months. And they decided to do business again. All of a sudden, he's the biggest star ever that they've ever had. He's got all this unprecedented level of tribute coverage and so on. I can't help but feel that it was more of a PR move than genuine. Well, maybe not even like a PR move, but perhaps even like a guilt move.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, because they basically, he had no activity for years. They put him in a suit and carted him around several places for 3 days straight. So you would think that maybe they think they caused it somehow.
I mean, and you read a lot of the Twitter accounts of various wrestlers, Bret Hart, Mick Foley. A lot of these people have kind of gone, oh, I kind of feel bad now that I was so nasty and standoffish to this guy. I wish I was a bit nicer when he was alive. This misunderstood guy that was kind of a loner. Then you get people like Hulk Hogan and Jake Roberts who went on social media and claimed that, oh, yeah, we spoke to Warrior over the weekend. We buried all of our, you know, our past problems. I guess we'll never know if that's actually true or not. But I guess what I'm saying is, because he's been away so long and there was so much hate put out there by WWE and a lot of the wrestlers, I just don't feel like a lot of this is sincere. And if it is sincere, it's almost too little, too late. Oh, now he's dead. You all love him, do you? Like, where? It just seems a little odd to me. I don't want to, like, make this sound like they're not doing the right thing, because they are doing the right thing, and I hope they do this for everybody going forward. But it just seems a little, suspicious. Insincere. Yeah.
Well, there's most definitely like a guilt thing going through. That's. Think of anyone in the world dying. What's the first thing that happens? All their friends are like, oh, he was such a great guy, you know? So this is no exception. There's no doubt there's some guilt there or whatever, but it's hard to say how much of it is genuine. I don't know.
And another thing that kind of bothers me is WWE foster this kind of culture where you're supposed to do what you're told, you put the company first, you don't go into business for yourself. To be a WWE superstar, you have to sacrifice a lot of, you know, your... It's not like a normal job, you know. They do kind of overwork these guys. I mean, that's kind of a normal... You know, people know that. And really, you're taught not to be like the Ultimate Warrior. You do something wrong, you get buried, you get put in the doghouse, you become a jobber for a year. And you see this with all these guys like Dolph Ziggler or Damien Sandow. You sometimes wonder, what did they do to deserve this? What have they done backstage that rubbed someone the wrong way? And you look at all the coverage that Warrior's got now, they've brought him back. What kind of message does that send to the people that were one of the boys, that did do what they were told all the time, that, you know, did everything that was asked of them? Where was Umaga's five tributes? Where was Test's, tribute shows? What about Randy Savage, who died? They just put a graphic up and said, oh, you know, Randy Savage died, let's move on.
That annoyed me so much. Even though Randy Savage is, like, my favorite classic superstar, so I'm kind of biased anyway, but come on, you would think.
Until you named Savage, I was going to say, like, a lot of these other wrestlers you were naming died in, like, very not good ways. Like, a lot of drug-related issues and stuff like that. With Warrior, it just came out that it was just a heart disease. He died pretty naturally for the most part. So there was more reason to, like, oh, it was so great. It's harder to do that when, you know, you murdered two people.
See, that's the problem that I have with some people. It's like, if they're not in the company, I have no way of knowing if they died or not.
Yeah.
As you like Layla. She's very much alive, and yeah.
She was dancing on Raw.
Yeah, what do we think of that? What do we think of that pairing? Layla and Fandango. I mean, Layla is a dancer, but I'm not... There doesn't really seem to be... They've not got that... Like,
it seems
connection.
Odd right now, but she plays it a lot better than Summer Rae did, I'll tell you that.
She has expression.
Yeah. Summer Rae just kind of went out there and was like, I'm blonde. Layla's like, I'm going to fucking dance. It's like, all right, you do that, Layla.
And what did he say? She tastes like a cereal or something?
What?
Something crunch? Did you see the clip where they first introduced her as his valet or dancer or whatever? He's like, she smells like something, but then he put the word crunch on the end. It must be like an American cereal brand.
He's British.
I have no memory of
this. Smells like Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that part. Oh, that's weird.
That's
which is a nice funny little, that. Like, clip, but...
Was it the picture-in-picture part? Where it was, like, shown a little, like, side frame of them while they were doing their entrance? Was it during that part?
Maybe. Unless it was, like, a backstage pass WWE inbox, whatever the fuck all that is.
People watch those.
Inbox Fallout backstage shenanigans.
And they're now going to produce a new one for AOL. I didn't know that still even existed, but
they're now
doing exclusive content for AOL, apparently.
Okay, then.
Jesus Christ.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, do people still have AOL as like a...
I legitimately do not know what you're talking about. What is an AOL?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm legit serious. You have to explain.
It's an email service. Like Gmail or Yahoo.
Content?
I guess now you can.
Okay.
Yeah, but the AOL was a huge deal in like 1995 or something.
It was.
But now...
My email's an AOL email. But I've had it for a long time. It's not like I just made it yesterday.
Didn't they cause the end of WCW as well?
AOL?
It was a merger between Time Warner and AOL. So then they kicked WCW off Time Warner.
That's hysterical if that's true.
The only thing that could end a wrestling company was an email-based thing. It just took away their email service.
That's why the wrestling business hates the internet. I get it.
Oh my god. Yahoo's gonna kill TNA.
With through the looking glass.
Oh man. But yeah, that was Raw, basically.
That was
nothing else really happened, did it?
Lana happened.
Lana.
The superior athlete.
A super athlete.
Who's monuments will be erected. It's not the only thing that will be erected.
I'm sure you're the first to make that joke, Brooks. Good job.
No, I know. I stole it.
I'm sure it took 10 creative members, all male, sitting in a big circle to come up with that one.
There's a joke here. How do we get it out?
Erect. What gets erect?
I don't know. Yeah.
I need to think.
But moving on,
moving on,
we briefly touched on there that the cause of death of the Ultimate Warrior has come out now. The medical examiner was quoted in TMZ, of all places. They seem to be the ones breaking all these stories. I don't know why that is, but basically he passed away of a heart attack, and the medical examiner listed the cause of that as being heart disease. Obviously... many men in their 50s do die from heart disease, and according to the medical examiner, there were no drugs or alcohol in his system. So Nancy Grace's swirling accusations of illegal drugs was just something she made up.
Of course it was. It's very good news to hear that it wasn't anything Nancy Grace said, because there are way too many wrestlers that die under those circumstances. But that just sucks. That just sucks that the Warrior died of a freaking heart attack.
And it doesn't necessarily rule out use of steroids in his, you know, younger years or whatever.
An
enlarged heart, from what I've read, can sort of worsen heart disease. If you go back to Eddie Guerrero's death, a lot of the reports said, you know, Eddie Guerrero died of heart disease and a heart attack, but he also had an enlarged heart. I'm not sure whether it will come out whether Warrior did or didn't. I'm not sure how much, maybe the medical examiner will overlook that. Maybe he won't. Maybe the family gets a say on how it's reported. I don't really know, but he died of a heart attack. That sucks.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
Speaking of happier news, Global Force Wrestling. Let's be fair. Let's give old Jeff Jarrett a fair hearing here. But his latest announcement for GFW. I keep wanting to say GWF instead of GFW.
Because GFW is weird.
Maybe they'll call it G Force as shortened.
Make it sound even more like a Power Rangers thing.
Well, this is the guy that kind of, I don't know if he created or his dad, but total non-stop action. Like, it's, yeah, at least true. It's a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The acronym still sucks.
But Jarrett made his big announcement on Tuesday, and he revealed that he's partnered with somebody called Dave Broom of 25/7 Productions, which is a big production company out of LA. And presumably they will be the ones that produce the wrestling show. Dave Broom is apparently known as the creator and executive producer of NBC series The Biggest Loser. I don't know if any of you have heard of that before.
Of course.
Yep.
I've not heard of it whatsoever.
It's a show where...
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal, man.
It's a reality competition show where fat people try and get less fat. And whoever loses the most fat wins.
Interesting. And apparently Broom is also credited for several live television specials and sports events and things. And one of the things he did was Tsunami Aid, a concert of hope. So, I mean, this guy sounds like he's fairly well connected in Los Angeles, got his production company and stuff. So it looks like they are actually going to do television. Broom is quoted in the Hollywood Reporter as saying that they're planning for 52 weeks per year. So I guess more of a sort of season, a bit like dramas on TV, where they'll go so long, have a break, and come back again.
Wait. If they're doing, is it a weekly thing?
Have I just made the goofiest error ever? How many?
Weeks? I was going to say, how many weeks are in a year? I think it's
52. Is 50? No, it's exactly 52 weeks in a year. If it's a weekly show, then they're doing the WWE.
Why did I think there was 70 something weeks in a year?
No.
Okay, so it's weekly. Why didn't they just say weekly?
I don't know.
It's weird.
So it definitely looks like television is a factor. A weekly show. And I know we've joked about how the logo looks like crap and the website is a bit of a joke because they're selling Karen and Jeff Jarrett photos.
So tempted to buy one.
Please don't.
No, I'd rather save up for something else.
We could buy them in bulk and give them away as competition prizes on the show.
Who would want that?
That'll put the butts in the seats.
Who wants a picture of Karen Jarrett?
I wouldn't mind Crickets a few do. Pictures of Karen Jarrett.
It's a professional 8x10, so...
Yeah, that's a point. I can just use Google, but never mind. So yeah, TV, 52 weeks a year, which is weekly, and it looks like there's a lot of indie talent out there that are interested. You've got Elijah Burke, who was the Pope in TNA and Elijah Burke in WWE, Lance Hoyt / Vance Archer, both of them teased that they were going to be part of the promotion, and in his press release, he says he has a database of 500 people. I'm not sure whether that means 500 wrestlers or wrestlers and other performers and people that could be involved, but 500 people potentially that he could draw from. So, I mean, it does sound like he knows what he's doing, but...
It sounds like he just went through all of his Facebook friends, because that's the average amount that most people have, around 500, and he just said, hey, want to be on the new thing? And they were like, why am I even friends with you here?
He probably just downloaded an EWR database.
Probably.
Like, oh, that's an indie wrestler, that's an indie wrestler. But,
yeah. I'm still not excited for it. I don't trust Jeff Jarrett anymore is the problem.
I would only be excited if they signed someone like, you know, super, you know, good.
If they started not pulling like the WCW and just started stealing top stars from everywhere.
Steiner.
Yes!
If they signed Steiner, I am legitimately interested.
I think they could only make a proper impact on that scale if somehow they manage to get somebody like CM Punk or Chris Jericho. But that's not going to happen. There seems to be this mentality now that if you're a big name and you're not in WWE, I'm not going anywhere else. We're not going to TNA. I'm not going to. Why would I go to TNA for?
And why downgrade?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would I leave something to do the same thing again for a worse company? Yeah.
For less money.
Exactly.
Yeah. I.
Unless they legitimately enjoy it, like, say, AJ Styles.
Yeah. That's like, one name that I think could potentially sign. Because he's left TNA.
Yeah.
And I think there's more of a loyalty with AJ Styles to Jeff Jarrett than there would be to Dixie Carter. Jarrett's obviously a wrestling guy. He's the one that actually signed AJ to begin with. So I could see that. And there are rumors that some of the top TNA guys could potentially make the jump. But
yeah, I've been hearing that.
He like runs Ring of Honor. Is it Jim Cornette?
I don't know anymore.
It's not. No, Jim Cornette left on pretty bad terms, I think.
Oh, shit.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He kind of does that everywhere he goes.
He's a freaking lunatic.
I'm pretty sure that, like, Styles is with Ring of Honor now, so unless he wants to, like, you know, leave those people for Jeff Jarrett's company, then...
Well, Ring of Honor's... I don't know how exclusive Global Force is going to be, but there's potential for him to work with both if he wanted to. Ring of Honor lets you do that.
Yeah, they're quite flexible, I guess. They do deals with, like, PWG and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If they could get some PWG talent, that'll help.
Definitely.
I just wonder how Jeff will kind of take this. Will he be going after people like John Morrison, Shelton Benjamin? Or will he kind of take the crop of the guys?
Oh my god.
Did somebody just die? What's going on? A tornado
come on.
Hit.
Come on.
I'm
all right.
Come on. Microphone fell.
Jesus fell fucking hard. Christ, man.
It sounded like you was attacked by a tornado.
So you're going to want to edit that out and repeat what you were just saying.
I don't know. What was I saying?
Talking about Shelton Benjamins and John Morrison's.
Yeah, will Jeff Jarrett go for kind of the medium-sized names, or do you think that he'll go for the cream of the indies that no one even knows of yet? I guess it has to be a mixture.
Yeah, I guess. I think he needs some form of pulling power, so he needs people that are already established names. But yeah,
beyond himself, because himself. Like that helped in TNA, where he was the champ. He was basically Triple H for a long while.
Yeah.
They should hire Ken Shamrock as their first champion.
The world's most... oldest man.
The world's oldest man. Gets in the ring.
Most dangerous senior citizen.
Yeah, he wonders why WWE aren't interested. I mean, you're not Brock Lesnar.
That was really funny to me to watch that situation develop. It's like, I've been calling them, but they're not calling back. I don't get it. I was a huge star in the Attitude Era. It's like, yeah, not really, though.
I mean, I was a fan of his, and he did have...
I think he was great.
He had I think he did have a bit of an impact. And I wouldn't mind seeing him on like a 10-year anniversary show or whatever, but he's not someone you can bring in for storylines.
No.
No.
What do you do with Ken Shamrock in the year 2014? Nothing.
Is that a joke? I was waiting for a punchline.
No, there's nothing. He would be a lower tier Brock Lesnar.
I could see him maybe in some kind of, I don't know, like a TNA brings him in as some kind of trainer for a month where he's in video skits helping somebody out. He's not an integral. No one really knows him anymore. Let's face it.
Yeah.
And like, if you're a hardcore MMA fan or a hardcore wrestling fan, you'll know who he is. But if you're a casual MMA fan or a casual wrestling fan, you've got no idea who this guy is.
Yeah, he's not really a household name.
No. He'll probably end up in TNA's Hall of Fame, though.
Quite possibly.
And if it was a real Hall of Fame, I think he'd probably deserve it, because he was the first NWA TNA champion.
Yeah, I think so.
Back when they had R-Truth as well.
Yeah.
Such a strange era.
What the frick was his name then? It was like...
K-Quick.
I thought K-Quick was when he was in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, then he was Ron Killings.
Ron Killings?
I always thought it was K-Quick.
It was Ron the Truth Killings, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
And now he's R-Truth. Like, WWE actually stole a name, kind of.
Yeah.
A name that doesn't really make sense unless you know the origins.
Just kind of K-Quick Truth Killings or something.
Quick Killings.
Because, he was in the Attitude Era, and he was in a tag team with, like, Road Dogg, I think. And I think that's when he was K-Quick.
God, that's so weird.
But anyway, the Jeff Jarrett news is not over, folks.
Hooray!
Lots of accusations are flying around about an incident.
What is that, like, Fox News voice?
I was trying to be Nancy Grace again. But
I got it. That was good.
But at IWA Mid-South, I have no idea why Jeff Jarrett is attending IWA Mid-South. I didn't know he was a deathmatch wrestler or...
Maybe he's scouting. Brain damage.
Yeah, I suppose he's scouting. But
and wife beater.
But Ian Rotten, who's the promoter,
of course he is,
issued the following statement. Jeff Jarrett was paid half of his money tonight and was told he would get the rest in 2 or 3 days through one way or another. And just out of plain stupidity, we forgot to get the advance money out of PayPal. Oh, shucks. And I know it sounds incredibly stupid, but it occurred. Why didn't he just send it from PayPal to Jarrett's PayPal? I don't know.
Technology's hard, especially when your name is whatever the fuck.
Especially if you're
Rotten. Sounds like a punk band leader or something.
And he says, I am embarrassed about it. Yes. But a very intoxicated Jeff Jarrett's actions to follow would be absolutely ridiculous and uncalled for, including knocking the glasses off John Calvin's face, which is his son, who's 17, taking the glasses, and for a period of time, threatening not to give the glasses back.
This is what they call an attack?
Are you serious?
Well, apparently he slapped him first.
I've been hearing the headline of Jarrett attacked a 17-year-old.
I thought he literally just beat the crap out of him. I didn't think he did something you'd find in a SpongeBob episode.
He played keep away with his glasses?
Keep away. And he just falls on the ground because he's wasted.
At least he's hit him with a guitar. Like.
Yeah, at least that.
He brings guitars with him just so he can hit people.
He should have hit the glasses with a guitar.
You wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you?
Oh, God. Screaming at numerous people in the dressing room, he was saying that it was their fault. Like, calling them slapnuts, I guess.
I can just imagine Jarrett walking up to wife beater. Why didn't this motherfucker pay me my money?
It's not my fault.
It's probably like $50 anyway.
Oh, God.
It's that to live.
And then he goes... He was acting like a paranoid, coked out, raging idiot. Not saying he was coked out, but I will say he was drunk. So just starting a rumor and then ending it in one sentence.
Oh my God.
And Karen Jarrett apparently tried to go out and interrupt Drake Younger's send-off speech, because I think he signed a developmental deal.
Oh yeah.
And
Wait, why did she do that?
Because she's Karen Jarrett.
Yeah.
And a bitch.
Oh, God.
So all swirling accusations are going around about Jeff Jarrett.
Swirling accusations stealing glasses. Of child abuse.
He took his glasses and threatened not to give them back.
He has the glasses in his hand at gunpoint, and he's just giving demands. You give me my money, or I'm going to shoot through your bifocals.
The glasses get it. Oh my God, I thought you were going to say he like stepped on them and broke them. No, he threatened not to return them.
These are my glasses now.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Oh, he's like a child.
That's fantastic. And he's running a wrestling company now.
Hey, anyone can do it.
I guess we'll never really know exactly what happened in this controversial backstage incident. After all, it is an indie wrestling locker room. It's not like promoters have never paid people before and people have never got angry at promoters before.
Yeah.
But just it's convenient timing. I mean, I'm sure part of Ian Rotten's thinking, let me see how I can stick it to this guy that's just starting his own promotion. Maybe that he sees it as competition. Maybe I'll over-exaggerate things. Maybe he did give the glasses back, but now I'll say that he threatened not to.
He threatened not to, but promptly did.
I just can't see Jeff Jarrett at one of those shows.
Yeah, really?
Outdoors somewhere.
He's just sitting in the front row with, like, five seats to his left, five seats to his right, completely empty. Because no one wants to go near him.
Because they're afraid he'll steal their glasses.
And just get the guitar out.
Oh, God. That's fantastic. That's the best thing
ever. The best and the worst.
Are any of you fans of IWA Mid-South? Have they got any people that would potentially
go to
GFW or whatever?
I just learned that Drake Younger was apparently on their roster. I know nothing about them.
Well, apparently,
I thought Drake Younger was with CZW and now WWE, but no.
I know Drake Younger from freaking PWG.
He gets around.
I suppose he's an indie wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank here. Who's the Shield guy? Dean Ambrose. He was in Mid-South for a while.
Who's that guy? He doesn't really do anything. Who's the US champion? I don't know.
I think he's a champion of something.
Yeah, carries around a belt.
Is that a belt or a coaster?
It's a big, shiny coaster.
With coffee stains on it. Just the title looks completely destroyed now because he's just been lugging it around, not using it.
Just dragging it on the ground like
you
maybe.
Just see water rings, scuffs, part of the flag is broken off.
Like a ketchup stain.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go through an airport. It's like, oh, see, the champion.
Is that?
I'd like to see someone react to him with that belt who knows nothing about wrestling. It's like, they'll see that belt and it's like, how are you the champion of this entire country? What does that mean?
What does this belt mean?
But I think it's no surprise he has to defend that soon-ish.
I like how we always return to this topic somehow.
Cause it's weird.
It's super weird.
Yeah, there's no need for it. We have superstars, main event, all these shows. Just put him on every couple weeks. Defend it against Zack Ryder, who cares? But at least defend it.
Give it to someone like, I don't know, Rusev.
Nah, unify the belts. Just have Big E fight Ambrose. Unify the belts. That's
I'd see Big E versus Rusev, to be fair.
Well, I mean, Big E would win and get the unified title, and then he'd probably have a feud with Rusev, but...
Yeah, I see what you mean. They need to just unify and get it over and done with.
Just get it off of Ambrose, because he's busy doing so much other stuff that he can't defend it.
I was legitimately surprised when he had the belt this week.
Yeah, sometimes he doesn't even come out with it.
Like last week.
Yeah, so they just need to get it off him.
Is he coming up to like being the longest reigning?
No, he's had it for like just under a year. He won it in like May last year, so.
No, he won it at Extreme Rules last year. It'll be a year at Extreme Rules.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
That was when the Shield won their titles.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, wow, okay.
And wow. Ambrose has had it ever since, and he's defended it a total of 4 times.
Against, we don't know, people.
I think RVD was one of them, and Mark Henry was the most recent one.
Speaking of RVD, that guy looks old now.
It's because he is
old. I didn't notice it so much in TNA, but...
Oh, I noticed it in TNA. I've thought he looked old for a while.
For somebody that was always sort of like the cool kind of underground star that you were just waiting to break out. This guy's just an old guy that might end up going grey soon and it won't look right.
Grey RVD. That's weird.
It's like Kevin
you can't be a dude that does a lot of flying things with grey hair.
A grey ponytail.
Exactly.
Imagine him when he like loses his hair.
What if he shaves it and looks like Kurt Angle?
Everyone should look like Kurt Angle.
Then he will be Ryback.
In that moment, God. I swear, we were all Kurt Angle.
I think our next topic's about someone who's a slightly better wrestler.
Yeah, we're coming up to the hour, so we'll move on to the next thing. I don't know which one of you saw this, if any of you did, but the Daniel Bryan special on the network. Obviously, I've not got the network, but I found it in other ways. But they did a WrestleMania, I guess they called it a Road to WrestleMania or WrestleMania Diary or something, where they followed Daniel Bryan around, and it was a damn good program. Did anybody see it?
I wish I could see it, but...
Oh, Brooks didn't watch it either? Damn it.
No, I wish I could, man, but I legitimately have no idea how.
See, I have the network. I just have no excuse. I didn't see it.
Yeah, why didn't you see it, dude?
I forgot.
Oh, come on.
Okay, because I'm under the impression right now that anything that they put out on the network sucks. So I just never watched it. I guess now I'll have to, but...
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, if we're bringing up this kind of new era, the reality era, then this, I think, is the kind of thing that they should be doing often. It didn't really break kayfabe. But what I liked about it is that it showed kind of real human emotions, real motives, desires. I believed what he was saying, probably because most of it was true, but I think that's kind of what we need more of. Give fans the chance to actually know the characters on a sort of deeper level, and then make a storyline out of that. It's all fine having Fandango being a dancer, but what do we really know about Fandango? He's just a dancer. What drives him? Why should we care? What are his motives? And I think they showed that really well with this special.
And I think that's what the Wyatts are finally starting to get right, is that now with their feud with Cena, there is a clear motive. Up until now, they've been kind of lacking that. And I'll be the first to admit it. I've still enjoyed it, but... Now they finally found it. And so that definitely helps any wrestler ever.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a formula. I think it'll work better for guys that aren't over this kind of, you know, just sitting them down, asking them normal questions. You know, what do you think about your upcoming match? How are you preparing? And then eventually the real person is going to come out. And you're going to be able to draw on certain real character traits rather than just saying, you're the foreign guy, you're the dancey guy.
You know, you say that, and the first thing that comes to mind as far as who's done that recently perfectly is The Shield. When they first debuted, they had an immediate motive, and the crowd got behind it, and then they individually started to develop. And now they're the most overstable in, like, a long time. And it worked perfectly. And it's the exact same formula you just said.
I actually can't think of a stable that's been more over in recent years than they have.
No, I can't. You could argue Evolution, but...
Even that was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that's a long time ago. And in the last 10 years, they're the most overstable... ever.
What I also like about The Shield is if you follow them outside of, you know, the immediate WWE universe, when they do podcasts or, you know, people's shows or whatever, you can still tell that it's The Shield, and you can tell that they're all really friends and they all do travel together, and they're all kind of like their characters in, you know, slightly turned down, but they're real people. And I really hate the John Cena character. It's corporate, it seems forced, he's not really appealing to me. But when I listened to him on the Steve Austin podcast, then I started to understand who he was as a person and his motivations and where he's actually coming from when he's going out doing all these charity drives and when he's in the gym and when, you know, you get to know who this person is. And now, I don't think he's such a bad guy. And if you can bring that out of him on the TV, you can develop storylines out of it. He doesn't have to be, you know, this character that's forced down everyone's throat. Explain how he feels that the fan, when the fans hate him, explain why he wants to be this good guy or whatever. Like, there needs to be more depth to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, this is what I mean when I say I don't like so-and-so the character, but I like so-and-so the guy. Because there's a clear difference between the two. And if they, like, maybe used them more, I could deal with the really bad characters, like John Cena and Triple H.
Yeah.
Whereas you have people like Randy Orton, who just suck both in character and in real life, so there's no chance they're going to get over with me.
Yeah. And I think that's something they're starting to improve on with these people who are just starting to come up. And that's a good sign. Hopefully they keep that trend going, but the reality era with this idea has the potential to be great if they do it right.
Exactly.
Way better than the Cena era.
That's the official name of the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
Since, like, 2000, like, yeah, 5 or 6.
Which is basically when I started watching wrestling, which is weird.
Sad to hear.
I know we've been critical of the kind of authority storyline, but again, when we look at kind of this concept of the reality era, I think the storyline ended the way it should have done. I think we can all agree on that, that Daniel Bryan winning was the great ending. And I think the hatred that people have for Triple H played into the storyline. I think that's exactly what they were going for. They know that people believe that Triple H is a dick backstage and then he buries people in real life. So why not use that to our advantage and make a storyline out of it? So everyone's going to think that Daniel Bryan's going to get buried, but they're going to get behind him. And, you know, it makes a great storyline. I think that's kind of what they're going for. It's blurring the lines. It's taking what hardcore fans believe, whether it's true or not, and going with it. So you can work them in a sort of secondary, I don't know, it's been described as like a meta level storyline. Ooh, but, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like a self-parody, almost, of these people.
Mm.
If the Shield do to the Evolution what Brian did to the Authority, then I will admit that I was wrong, and you're probably right, that is the case. Until that happens, however, I still don't trust him.
Does that mean you're going to sing a Divas theme song in...
Absolutely not!
In Lana's accent.
Absolutely not.
If only we had Andy on the show.
If only.
Tell you what, I'll place a bet for him. If the Shield ends up winning this feud, Andy has to sing freaking AJ's theme song in a Lana accent.
Yes, done. And he has to do the Emma dance as well.
Yes! That was just beeps.
That was her theme song, was it not?
It's a little different, but... Speaking of theme songs have gotten, like, incredibly good recently.
Yeah, Adam Rose is an example. I've been listening to him, like, the past 3 days.
But apparently there was an original theme song that I haven't heard, and I'm not going to listen to it because I don't want to ruin what I like about the new theme. But some people are saying, oh, I really wish the original theme was there because they had to change it because of some kind of copyright or something. So there was another theme that was even better, but this one's also awesome.
I've heard the original one, and it's good, but I still like the new one better. I think it's going to... There's potential in the new theme for, like, almost a new Fandangoing.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of these theme songs now, they have, like, bits where the audience can actually sing along because it has a catchy hook, and they think that that will get the superstar over.
Yeah,
I felt bad for Bray Wyatt on Raw when he sang The Whole World Is In His Hands. What's the title of that? It's a hymn or something, isn't it?
He sang it with
so much passion. And he was waving his hands, hoping he'd get that WrestleMania thing going again, and they were like, nope.
Yeah, again, that crowd liked him, but they didn't catch it, so.
They start clapping to his theme song now, which I've noticed a lot.
Yeah, I like that, though.
I wish they'd turn the audio of that up a bit more to make it more prominent, so you actually... Because I think sometimes WWE, the way they mic things, sometimes they make it sound worse.
Yeah. Like,
when it's the whole arena going... but you can't really hear it.
Yeah. And as far as going back to theme songs, like, there's the characters who need a catchy sing-along one, like Adam Rose, but then the serious characters like freaking Rusev and Titus O'Neil, they have, like, these, like, huge-scale, epic, imposing theme songs.
I wish I knew what was being said at the start of Rusev's theme, just so I can type it into a chat whenever I enter it.
Yeah, you just type in all caps Rusev, and it's like, I know what you mean.
Rusev, Podria!
Rusev, Machka!
Machka!
What does Lana say when she enters, though? That's quite funny. It's like, meow, meow, meow.
She's like a cat. She just speaks in meows.
It works for me.
I actually learned that she's American, which surprised me a bit. Yeah, she's like, her real name is CJ Parker or something.
Can't you tell that accent is, I thought her accent's pretty poor, but.
CJ Parker's a wrestler in NXT.
I know, I realized as I said, it's CJ something. I'm an idiot, yeah.
Oh, there's always something.
Yeah, I did some research and like...
woman? It's a man? Damn it.
Turns out CJ Parker just puts on a blonde wig and becomes Lana.
Why do I say things?
I don't know.
I hope they tone him down a little bit as it goes forward. He has that sort of MMA killer look about him. He doesn't necessarily have to be a 1980s Iron Sheik.
Don't do to him what you did to Ryback.
Or Kozlov.
Or Umaga. Any generic monster foreign heel.
He needs to be a real man that can actually talk.
Well, I think he's actually Bulgarian. I don't know if he speaks English.
Yeah, he speaks English.
He does?
Yeah, he did some promos on NXT where he spoke in, like, breathing words, where he's like, I will do this and that, in just a really strong accent.
They've gone the kind of Kofi Kingston conundrum where he's sort of played up as being Russian and Bulgarian at the same time, and that's just not the same thing.
I think it's, like, Lana who's Russian and Rusev who's Bulgarian.
Yeah, I thought that was how it went. I thought... Wow, okay, that's really weird to me that Lana's American. I could have sworn she was actually Russian.
Nah, I did some research, and apparently she did grow up in, like, a weird Soviet Union country, so maybe that has something to do with it, but yeah, she's, like, a proper American.
Because I thought I'd heard an interview.
A proper American. A real American.
Put her with Zeb Coulter.
Oh my god. Oh, by the way, as long as we're talking about theme songs and Zeb Coulter, why does Cesaro not have a new theme song yet? He has no music.
They haven't got one yet.
He has no music. He came out to nothing.
They can't use Patriot because that's the real Americans thing, and they can't use his old theme because, well, it's his old theme, so I guess they're going to try and think of a new one before the next Raw.
You think they would have planned out the Americans breaking up and they would have had a new one prepared?
Yeah, but
guess not, because they want it to be absolutely perfect. And it's not because they did this at the last minute.
So they're going to give him Curtis Axel's theme song.
I like how they've slowly added a tiny bit of his father's theme in the background now.
Yeah, but now Ryback has a completely new theme, which is just Ryback's theme song with Mr. Perfect bits.
Yeah, it's like...
That's actually exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
100%. That's exactly.
That was actually just the file playing.
I'm going to add this to my created superstars on SmackDown. It's not even SmackDown anymore, is it? What is it? WWE 2K14. There you go.
Oh. I was like, they changed the name of SmackDown?
It's not SmackDown anymore. What is it?
I'm thinking of like SmackDown versus Raw 2008. It's a bit later now, isn't it?
Bit. Is that all the topics we had?
I think that pretty much wraps it up, unless anyone's got any closing words to say. You both have shows on the Supla.
Yes, we do.
So what can we expect coming up?
Brooks, I'll let you start, seeing that your show just debuted.
You got that. I'm working out a schedule, and I'm hoping to get one episode out a month.
Oh, sweet.
And around the 14th.
I was actually saying on my show, the Let's Plays, which you can catch every Saturday on the Supla channel, that I didn't know if the editorial was going to be a scheduled show, if it was going to be more like a JonTron thing where it just came out whenever it was ready. But if
Yeah, it will be a thing where it comes out where it's ready, but it'll usually be ready within a month.
All right,
good to know. So I'm aiming for that, but if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen.
Well, I can wait, because that first one was incredible, and you all should go watch it.
Agreed, apparently.
Well, sounds good to me. This has been the Wrestling Pundit Podcast. I've been your host, Keelan Balderson, and I was joined by Carmine Antonelli.
Bye.
And Sam Brooks. I'll catch you in 2 weeks.
He played keep away with his glasses?